reading today is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 to 8. You yourselves know, brothers and sisters, that our coming to you was not in vain. But though we have already suffered and been shamefully mistreated at Philippi, as you know, we had courage in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in spite of great opposition. For our appeal does not spring from deceit or impure motives or trickery, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the message of the gospel, even so we speak, not to please mortals, but to please God, who tests our hearts. As you know, and as God is our witness, we never come with words of flattery or with a pretext for greed. Nor did we seek praise from mortals, whether from you or from others, though we might have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, like a nurse tenderly caring for her own children. So deeply do we care for you that we are determined to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you have become very dear to us.
The gospel lesson today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22, verses 34 to 40. Hear the words of the Lord. Let me put this in place because that's what I forgot. This passage today that's part of the lectionary comes as Jesus is approaching Jerusalem where he will be crucified. And on the way, he has been, I don't want to say harassed, but maybe harassed is the right word, by many groups of people who believe that he is just trying to sell a bag of goods and that he is not who he says he is. And so he is questioned constantly. And this is what today's scripture says. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We've heard that scripture. We've heard those commandments often. And yet, sometimes we forget. Well, I'll tell you, and I'm apologizing because I know I'm stumbling over my words. I have had an incredible week. And incredible is just the tip of the iceberg. The culmination sort of was Friday afternoon from 12 until almost 7 o'clock that night. I babysat a puppy. At the house with our two very large dogs, I'm exhausted. I am just exhausted. The puppy could not have been cuter, but I'll tell you what, I was not the only one who slept very well Friday night. There were two dogs in my house and there was a puppy next door that were out for the count. In fact, our neighbor said, what'd you guys do? Well, they ran and ran and ran and ran and ran some more. So it's been kind of a week, but the highlight for me, besides the puppy sitting, which that truly was a highlight, but the highlight was Wednesday night. During the pandemic, maybe some of you were like me, I was not transfixed to my television, but I just watched a lot of TV. And it seemed like there were many studios and many companies that were trying to help us out by giving us some things to watch that maybe if it was normal time, we wouldn't be able to watch them. One was a Broadway production called Come From Away. I don't even know how we stumbled on it, but we did. Has anybody heard of the Broadway play Come From Away? Let me tell you. If you ever get the chance to see it, I can't stress it strongly enough. And here's the deal. It happens on the island of Newfoundland, right on the tip of Canada, out in the middle of the ocean. And has anybody traveled to Newfoundland? Oh, I am so excited and impressed that you guys have gotten to do that. And on one day that started off like any other day, all of a sudden, the little airport, which actually is a very large airport, it was built there on the island of Newfoundland because in the beginning, airplanes could not make the trip across the United States into Europe, and they needed a stopover. And so that airport was built to be a stopover for fueling for airplanes. Well, as the airplanes advanced, it wasn't needed anymore. And so that airport sort of sat, not vacant. They had a few flights in every day, but not many. But on this particular day, all of a sudden, all of the air traffic controllers were told, get ready, because you are getting ready to have many, many planes come to your airport. And they did. And the townspeople couldn't know why. All of a sudden, they just knew that a lot of people were coming into our town and we needed to figure out how we're going to take care of them. And then it was discovered what had happened in New York City. It was 9/11. It was September the 11th. And planes could not come into the United States airspace, and they needed some place to fly. The planes that had just left Europe, if they were just a few minutes away, they were all diverted and turned back to Europe. But the planes that had gone quite a distance needed to go on, and so they landed in Newfoundland. And this little town of Gander and the other small towns around all of a sudden had to find shelter and food and entertainment for 6,500 people. Could you imagine what that was like? This is what we discovered throughout the musical, and actually when you read the history of the people of Newfoundland, they will welcome anyone into their home. Come home with me. Come home with me. When the hotels were filled, the people just started taking people in. And in fact, one of the reports I read said that there was a call all over Newfoundland, hey, we're running out of toilet paper and we need toilet paper. And within less than 24 hours, then the call went out, hey, we've got way too much toilet paper. Who needs it? Because the people of Newfoundland want to give of themselves. Everybody, just bring what you have, and we're all going to share it. The story is amazing, absolutely amazing. And one of the things that happened is you might well know that while those people were there in the town for 5 days and on that island for 5 days until they could figure out what to do in the United States and how to get traffic going again, is that friendships formed. One couple got married and they had their honeymoon in Newfoundland. They didn't even know each other until they landed. The sweetest story to me was that one of the women was desperately trying to get a hold of her son, who was a firefighter in New York City. And she couldn't get a hold of him and couldn't get a hold of him. And she became really good friends with one of the women. And they just constantly worked and prayed. And when this woman got back home, she called her new friend in Gander, and she said, he's gone. He was killed in the tragedy. Those two women now, all these years later, are still best friends. They travel back and forth. They've been to each other's homes, and they are bonded because that's where she found love that she and acceptance and help. If you ever get the chance to see the play Come From Away, I highly recommend it. Sadly, it was only in Fort Wayne for Wednesday night and the company is gone. It's an amazing, amazing story told with much humor and lots of incredible music. It's great. But I love this. Everybody, bring what you have. It's a little tiny bit like today. Today, later in the service, we are going to bless the pledge cards and dedicate them to the church. We do the same thing. Offer what you have. Offer what you can bring us. But it also reminds me the play, the pledge cards, the puppy that came to our house, the many, many things that we get to do. It reminds me of this, that none of us in this room cannot love God without loving what God loves. Let me say that again. One cannot love God without loving what God loves. The people of Gander knew that. Those of us in this room, some of us know that so well because we have been well loved by the people in our lives, by our friends, and by our family. Well, if we look at this passage that we read for today, as these people were trying to trick Jesus and trip him up so that they could get rid of him, and not have anything else to do with him, we find out that there are two commandments. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. These two commandments Jesus links together. Now, we know that when we look at the Ten Commandments, that's not exactly what we see, but these two commandments are inseparable. We cannot pull them apart. And they involve risk. The risk to say, well, you know, I don't really know that little puppy, but sure, bring her on in. Well, all these people that have come to our town, what are we going to do? Bring them on in. We cannot love God without loving what God loves. The Torah understood that through the love for God, that we also have a love for our neighbor. Except sometimes we like to read neighbor as, well, our next door neighbor who needs a puppy sitter. We like to read neighbor as, oh, the people that I can't wait to see when I come home from work, or the people that I hope move in our neighborhood. However, what we need to remember is that when we say that we have love for our neighbor, that includes, in God's eyes, in God's mind, in God's economy, that we love our enemies as well. It's not just a love for the neighbor, it's also a love for all of God's people. And never will we look in the face of somebody who God doesn't love, because God loves us all. And the pinnacle command of all of this is to love our neighbor, to love our neighbor. We cannot love God without loving what God loves. The really great thing about the love of God is that it is active. It is interactive. And it never, never is just me sitting alone saying, well, I said a bunch of prayers for people. That should be good enough. This is a story. And when I was working on this service, Liz said, "Are you sure you can tell this?" And I said, "Oh, well, let's just say I can." So here we go. I absolutely adored my time that I got to spend at the Access. I met so many wonderful, wonderful families and so many incredible kids. One of the kiddos that I met, I did not know her, even though I knew her siblings because they all came to the Access, but I didn't know Dharma until she came the very first year that we had the alternative school program. And because we loved her siblings so well, she was very kind to us. And oh, I love Dharma. I watched her struggle, and through her years, I went to the funeral of her mother and then the funeral of her father. And here she was, this young woman, just barely 18, and now the head of her five altogether. They had grandparents who loved them and who cared, and Dharma worked so hard. When she had her first child, she had lots of issues with him, and her grandparents helped, but also the community helped. But every once in a while, Dharma would come into the Access to talk to us. And she said, and we would always ask her, "How are you doing?" Now, what she knew and what we knew is that when we said, "How are you doing?" we meant with your addiction process, your problems. Her parents were both addicts. She was taught to do that from the time she was little, and she was really struggling. And some days she would say, "Oh man, that's why I'm here, because I just need a touch point." And sometimes she was doing fantastic, and she did until the day she overdosed and died. We got the phone call within about an hour after the paramedics took her away. And we knew we needed to do something. And because there were so many people who loved her so, and so many kids her age, now in their early 20s, and her younger siblings. And so we decided we're going to open up the Access for the night. And these kids will have a place to come and gather, a place that is familiar to them, a place where they can play pool, because sometimes when you can slam a pool stick into a pool ball, it helps with your frustrations. We know that. And so Dharma's family, Dharma's friends came, and we had about 30 kids. And one of the kids said, "Hey, you know what? I haven't played Uno forever." Were you wondering how I was going to figure that in? There you go. "I haven't played Uno forever." And we said, "Well, you know what? Actually, I guess we haven't played for a long time either." And then we realized all of our Uno cards were gone. Or they were in such horrible shape because the kids loved playing. And this gentleman who was part of the counseling program at Parkview was there with us. Dharma had been one of his clients along the way. And one of the people he worked with is one of my relatives, and so they came to help us out that night. And all he did was say, "Oh, excuse me, just a minute." And I looked at my cousin, and I said, "What's happening?" He said, "He went to get Uno cards." And sure enough, that's exactly what he did. And when he came back with his brand new deck of Uno cards, there were about 10 kids sitting around the table playing Uno with one deck of cards. Oh, there was a lot of cheating going on. But there was so much laughter, and there was so, for just that little bit, they got to be kids again, and they got to laugh, and it was okay. The days of crying were coming. And this gentleman showed us what agape love is all about. Agape love is loving kindness, but it's not passive. It does. It's not just me saying, "Oh, I'm going to pray for you." It's me actually doing something about it. It's me going to get the Uno cards. It's full of emotion, but also it's a reminder that mercy is active. Uno is unique. It's accessible, and because, you know, I had to look up on the Uno site, do you know that they now make Uno cards in Braille? Did you know that they make Uno cards for people who have color blindness? Did you know that of all of the games that are sold, Uno, which is really old, sells the most? It helps for people like me who can't find their Uno cards at home and have to go out and buy a new deck. But Uno continues to grow in popularity. It's been around for generations, and whether you agree to stack the draw fours or not, it's an amazing game. I know I don't have a whole lot of extra time, but one of the volunteers who was a youth pastor in town loved to play Uno with Dharma's youngest sister. And Isabel was tiny and little, and she was cute, and she was ornery, and she was banned from every store downtown because she was a thief. Shoo! But we loved her so. And so this guy would play Uno with Isabel, and she would go, "How does he always win?" And all around the floor around him were all of his Uno cards that he would just slowly drop to the floor. She never caught on. It was great. But he spent time with her. And now that she is a young adult, actually I just saw her not too long ago, she will still talk about playing Uno at the Access. Uno shows us God's love. I know that sounds weird because it's a game, but it helps us. Sometimes it helps us solve conflict, and if we argue over every little tiny point, but then we come out laughing. And the next time somebody pulls out the Uno cards, we want to play. Here's the deal. Uno has made itself relevant because it's a very easy game to learn. Every single person can play it. And that is exactly what church should be. Church should be a place where people can come and know, I may not know all the rules and I may not know everything that's going on, but everybody accepts me. I may not stand when I'm supposed to stand and I may not sit when I'm supposed to sit. Church is relevant in this world. And yet, one cannot love God without loving what God loves. Because loving is a choice. We sometimes think that love is a feeling. I fell in love, I fell out of love. But love is a choice. We choose who we love. We choose how we love. And loving kindness is shown in merciful action. It's generous, it's continuous, and it's always present. In a couple days, some of us are going to get to be generous and present as trick-or-treaters come to our house. That is if they're not too full from all the candy from last night, and I know there's a trunk-or-treat this afternoon, and I think they'll still be out. I can't tell you how many times I heard one of my relatives, who will remain nameless, say, "It just makes me so mad when those teenagers, they don't even put on a mask or anything, and they come around and ask for candy." Well, how wonderful! Give them the candy! Holy cow! I love Halloween because it gives us a time just to be generous and loving. Loving is a choice, and loving kindness is shown in how we act. How we act. During Halloween, we treat strangers as we treat those we love. We smile and we tell them how cute they look, or if they're teenagers, how fierce they look, or just how wonderful it is to see you. Have a good day. Be safe. Have fun. So here's the thing. With love, we get to make a choice. We make a choice, and then we act on it. God is very specific. God says we are to love with our whole heart. being generous to God's people. And we're never going to find somebody who isn't one of God's people. Regardless of what they say or what they think, God loves them completely. We love with our heart by being generous. We love with our soul by worshiping God and praying for our neighbors, whoever they are and wherever they may be. And we love with our minds. And that means that we study God's word, that we try to figure out what it is that I don't understand yet or what I need. And we let God's word correct us, enlighten us, and then send us out to love in the world. Come From Away reminds us. It reminds us of what happens in the midst of tragedy. And yet, the people of Gander and the people of Newfoundland did not just learn that love on that spot. They learned it because they've been practicing it for generations and generations. May we remember our roots, and may we remember what God asks us to do, to love all. To love all. One cannot love God without loving what God loves. May it be so, not just today, not just when we're holding cute puppies, not just when we're with our family and dearest friends, but may it be so at all times and in all places. Amen.
You have been listening to a podcast from Wabash Presbyterian Church. For more sermons and resources, please visit us at wabashpresbyterian.com.